Let's read together tonight the Word of God in John chapter 10. John 10, we'll read together the first 30 verses. My text tonight is verse 11. The Word of God at John 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. There ends our reading of the Word of God tonight. May the Lord add His blessing to our reading of the Holy Scripture. I call your attention tonight to verse 11 of John 10. Jesus' word, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In this passage of God's word, the Lord Jesus Christ relates two closely connected figures to himself. Two figures that describe his work and his calling as the Savior. Both of these figures are connected to sheep herding, a very common occupation in Jesus' day. First of all, Jesus describes himself as the door of the sheep. And secondly, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. Jesus is the door of the sheep. That is, Jesus is that through which the one through whom the sheep enter into the sheepfold for the protection of the sheepfold. Verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. From two points of view, Jesus is the door of the sheep. That is, the door of the sheepfold, that through which the sheep must pass in order to enter into the sheepfold. First, Christ is the door of the shepherds, so that those who come in His name and who come through Him, they only are to be accounted as true shepherds of the sheep of God. That's verses 1 through 5 especially. Secondly, Christ is the door of the sheep because it is only through Him that a man enters into the sheepfold to enjoy the safety and the protection that is the salvation of the sheepfold. That is verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. But besides being the door of the sheepfold, Jesus is himself the great good shepherd of the sheep. That is Jesus' teaching in the words of our text for tonight. I am the good shepherd, the one and only good shepherd. The good shepherd who, as the good shepherd, in demonstration that he is the good shepherd, gives his life for the sheep whom he loves. Tonight I call your attention to the good shepherd. Let's notice three things together. First of all, the giving of his life. Secondly, that he gives his life specifically for the sheep. And finally, the benefit of the giving of his life. the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd, first of all, because of His own personal goodness, altogether apart from His goodness to us in Himself. He is the good shepherd. He has declared that about Himself in the passage. He has declared Himself to be the one and only shepherd of the sheep. He has said about Himself that He is the one whom the sheep must follow. It is His voice that they must hear and obey. He has said, "By me," verse 9, "by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And in verse 15, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father." And then in verse 30, where we concluded our reading, "I and my Father are one." Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is very God of very God. Jesus is essentially one with God, sharing in the very goodness of the being of God Himself. For this reason, first of all, Jesus is the good shepherd. But Jesus is the good shepherd also because of His goodness towards the sheep. He is the good shepherd because of the great good that He accomplishes for the sheep, because of His goodness to them. He is the good shepherd because that good is the highest good, the greatest good, the ultimate good, the good of salvation itself. Jesus is the good shepherd of the sheep. He does what no other shepherd can do. He lays down His life for the sheep. As the good shepherd, Jesus distinguishes Himself in His relationship to the sheep. First, He distinguishes Himself from the thieves and from the robbers. They are the enemies of the sheep. They are not interested in the good of the sheep, but they are interested in their own good at the expense of the sheep. They come not in order to do good to the sheep, but they come in order to steal away the sheep, to kill the sheep, to destroy the sheep, to scatter the sheep. That's verse 10. "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." As the good shepherd, not only does Jesus distinguish Himself from the thieves and from the robbers, but He also distinguishes Himself from the false and faithless shepherds. Those who are shepherds in name, but who do not love the sheep, are not interested in the good of the sheep. They are the hirelings to whom Jesus makes reference in verses 12 and 13, the verses immediately following the text. "But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. Jesus has in mind specifically the scribes and Pharisees of his own day, the chief priests and the leaders of the people. They had the name of being shepherds among God's sheep. They were supposed to be the shepherds of the sheep. They held the office of under-shepherd and pastor of God's sheep in Jesus' day. But like the thieves and the robbers, they held their office not for the good of the sheep, but for their own good, for their own personal advancement, at the expense of the sheep. They were not good shepherds, but evil shepherds. They did not love the sheep, but they hated the sheep. In distinction from them, false and faithless shepherds, Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd because he carries out faithfully the duties of a shepherd. The duties of a shepherd were primarily two. Two closely related duties. The first duty of the shepherd was to provide for the sheep. And the second duty of the shepherd was to protect the sheep. Christ does both. He does both of these activities, especially in the giving of his own life for the sheep. His giving of his life for the sheep is both his provision for the sheep and the life of the sheep, as well as his protection of the sheep from their enemies. It is therefore in the laying down of his life, freely giving his life on behalf of the sheep, that Jesus shows himself to be the good shepherd of the sheep. That's the idea of the text. I am the good shepherd, and I show myself to be the good shepherd by giving my life for the sheep. The reference, of course, is to the cross. Jesus has in view, in the words of our text, Calvary, his own suffering and death on the cross of Calvary as the good shepherd of the sheep. There on the cross, Jesus showed himself to be the good shepherd. Exactly because he is the good shepherd. He went to the cross. There on the cross, he did battle with the enemies of the sheep. The enemies who were determined to devour the sheep. The enemy of the devil and of the demons of hell, the enemy of death and of the grave, the enemy of the consuming wrath of God by his death on the cross. The good shepherd of the sheep subdued, destroyed the enemies of the sheep. By his death on the cross, Jesus made provision for the sheep. The provision of his own life for their eternal life. In connection with Jesus' giving of his life, there are a couple of important truths that we ought to notice that are taught in our text for tonight. First of all, comes out in the text and in the giving of his life for the sheep, the great love that the shepherd has for his sheep. That's emphasized especially when Jesus says in the text that as the good shepherd, he gives his life for the sheep. Freely and willingly, he lays down his life on behalf of the sheep. As he himself says in verse 18, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." No man taketh Jesus' life from him, but freely he lays it down. That underscores Jesus' love for the sheep, that voluntarily he stands in their place, on their behalf, faces the enemy himself that would otherwise devour them, underscores the great love that the shepherd has for his sheep. That love is emphasized by the fact that that which he freely gives on behalf of the sheep is his life, his own life. He does not give silver or gold. He does not give anything or the multitude of things for the sheep. But he makes the ultimate sacrifice on behalf of the sheep. He gives his own life for the sheep. The motivation, the only possible motivation, can be his love for the sheep. This is the thing that distinguishes, when all is said and done, this is the one thing that distinguishes the good shepherd from the robbers, the thieves, and what distinguishes the good shepherd from the hirelings. In distinction from them, Jesus loves the sheep. They do not love the sheep. They're not interested in the well-being of the sheep. They love themselves, promote themselves, are interested in themselves at the expense of the sheep. Jesus makes the ultimate sacrifice of love. He lays down his own life for the sheep. He lays down his life, not just to death, and that magnifies his love all the more, but to death under the wrath and judgment of God. He endures what the sheep deserved to endure. The death that he died on their behalf was no ordinary death, but it was death under the judgment of God. That certainly underscores the love of the Good Shepherd. This is the thing that ought to characterize those who are the under-shepherds of the Good Shepherd. This is the thing that ought to motivate office bearers in the church of Jesus Christ who stand as the representatives in the flock of Christ of the great Good Shepherd, that they love the sheep. And out of that love for the sheep, willing to expend themselves, if need be, even unto death, for the well-being of the sheep. In the second place, that Jesus gives his life for the sheep, besides emphasizing his great love for the sheep, also teaches the vicarious or substitutionary nature of the death of the Good Shepherd. Christ's death was a substitutionary or vicarious death. Christ died as the Good Shepherd in the place of and as the substitute for others. He himself did not deserve to die. They deserved to die. He did not himself deserve the suffering of the wrath and judgment of God. They deserved that wrath and that judgment of God. He laid down his life for them in their place, enduring what otherwise they would surely have to endure. That's the figure here of a shepherd dying to save his sheep. The figure implies that if he does not die, they will surely die. If he does not lay down his life for them, their lives will be taken by their enemies. Substitutionary atonement. In the place of the sheep, he stands as their representative, experiencing in their place God's wrath and judgment. And third, Jesus' word here is very striking because it points to the ongoing benefit of the death of Jesus Christ. That's very striking in connection with Jesus' word here that Jesus uses the present tense. He uses the present tense rather than merely the past tense. Something that's over and done with in the past. Instead, he uses the present tense. And the idea is of something that's ongoing, that continues from the past into the present and extends into the future as well. That's what Jesus says in the text. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth, gives, we would say, his life for the sheep. He doesn't say, have given, nor does he say, shall give, but gives, giveth. That's ongoing. That's progressive. That's continual. And that's the idea. Certainly, there was a moment in time when Jesus gave his life. From the viewpoint of our Lord, at the time that he spoke these words in John 10, verse 11, that moment was future. Not very far into the future, but it was future. From our perspective, that moment is past. That moment took place at a point before our present. From that point of view, we may say, we often do say, that Jesus gave, has given his life. The cross, of course, was a once for all historical event that could never be repeated, that belongs to the error, and not just the error, the blasphemy of the Roman Catholic doctrine concerning the Mass as a re-sacrificing by a priest. Of course, you need a priest to make a sacrifice, not a minister or a preacher, but a priest. That's the blasphemy of Rome's teaching concerning the sacrifice of the Mass. That is an idolatry. It is many other things, including a lie. But it is a blasphemy. Nevertheless, from the point of view of the benefit of Jesus' death, from the point of view of that which Jesus' death accomplished, Christ's death is ongoing. He gives his life for the sheep. We continue all our lives long to enjoy the benefits of that death of Jesus Christ. We enjoy those benefits daily. We enjoy those benefits until we reach the perfection of them at the end of our earthly lives, when we are called home by the Good Shepherd. But it's from the point of view of the ongoing benefit of Jesus' death that he says in the text that he giveth his life for the sheep. for the sheep. He gives his life for the sheep. Those for whom he died, those for whom he laid down his life, are the sheep and only the sheep. And that too belongs to Jesus' instruction in the words of our text for tonight. For whom did he die? For whom did he lay down his life? On behalf of whom did he carry out the duty of a great good shepherd? The text answers all of those questions in these words, for the sheep. That indicates that when he died, when he gave his life, Jesus died for definite, particular persons. He died not for an indefinite group of people, a mob and a mass, but instead, he gave his life for a definite group of people, described figuratively in the text as the sheep. That's definite. Implied in the text is that Jesus gave his life only for the sheep. He did not lay down his life for any others than the sheep. You may read the text that way, and you do no injustice to Jesus' teaching here. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life only for the sheep. Sheep does not include all men. That's Jesus' own teaching in the passage before us tonight. In verse 8, just before the text, Jesus speaks of the thieves and of the robbers. Clearly, he did not lay down his life for them. In the first part of verse 12, he speaks of the hirelings. And at the end of that verse, he speaks of the wolves, figuratively. Those who are not sheep, but who are wolves. Maybe wolves in sheep's clothing. For them, Jesus did not lay down his life. And in verse 26, Jesus says very expressly to some in his audience, ye are not of my sheep. You don't belong to the number of my sheep. And not belonging to the number of my sheep, you are not those for whom I lay down my life. Since Jesus lays down his life only for the sheep, clearly he does not lay down his life for every single human being who ever has, does now, or will in the future live. So we say that Jesus' atonement was a limited atonement. Or we say that his redemption was a definite redemption. And what we mean by those qualifying words, limited atonement, definite redemption, is that he died for some men only. In the end, they are the elect of God. In the end, They are those who have been given by God the Father in eternity to Jesus Christ to be their good shepherd. The sheep in the text are God's elect. That's not a stretch. That fits with the figure of the text. The figure is the figure of sheep and of a shepherd. How do the sheep become the sheep of their shepherd? Is that by their own will? Have they decided that they will be the sheep of this shepherd rather than of another shepherd? Is it left to the sheep's determination who will be their shepherd? Of course not. That's ridiculous. Even the children here tonight know how ridiculous that is. Why do certain sheep belong to a certain shepherd? Because that shepherd has determined that they will be his sheep. Because the shepherd has purchased those sheep to be his own sheep. He has done everything that was necessary in order to make them his own sheep. That's election. Sovereign, free, gracious election of God. Not only does Jesus teach that his death is limited to some men only, that he gives his life for some only when he says, for the sheep and for no others. But he also limits his death by teaching that the saving benefit that comes to the sheep and the sheep alone is the saving benefit of his own death. Jesus' death actually availed to save the sheep. His death was that which was necessary for the salvation of the sheep. His death was not only then a limited atonement, it was a limited atonement. It was not only a definite redemption, but it was a definite redemption. By his death, Christ really did redeem everyone for whom he laid down his life. By his death, he really did accomplish the atonement with God for all those for whom he died. His death paid in full the debt that they owed. His death fully satisfied God's righteousness on account of the guilt of their sins, the guilt of the sins of everyone for whom he died. For, the text says, he gave his life for the sheep. That does not only teach limited atonement, but it teaches real and efficacious atonement. He did really give his life for the sheep. And that means not only in their place and on their behalf, but it means for their good, for their welfare, now and eternally. For the sheep implies that his death was a benefit for the sheep. They profited from his death. His death was the salvation of the sheep, their deliverance from death and from the wrath of God on account of his saving work as the good shepherd. Jesus teaches that about his death here. In verse 10, he says that through his laying down of his life, his death, the sheep, all the sheep for whom he dies have life. They have life, and they have it more abundantly, he said. In other words, more abundantly than mere earthly life, he gives to them heavenly and spiritual life, the abundant life that is his own life as the good shepherd. And in verse 28, he teaches, verse 28, that all those for whom he dies, all of them, without a single exception, shall have eternal life. And I give unto them eternal life. The sheep, that's verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I give unto them, my sheep, eternal life. It ought to be plain to us that those who teach that Christ died for all men, that is, for every single human being in all the world, must deny, are compelled to deny the efficacy of Christ's atonement. Then, although he died for these people, his death did not avail to save them. That's the lie of Arminianism and free willism. That's the lie of the teaching that Christ's death was a universal death intended to save every single human being. The truth of that lie, if you will then, is that although Christ died for some, notwithstanding his death for them, they perish everlastingly in hell. There is a hell. There are those who go to hell, notwithstanding, teach the free willists and Arminians, notwithstanding the fact that Christ died for them. And then, of course, that teaching cuts the legs out from under any assurance, any peace that we can possibly enjoy through faith in Jesus Christ, in the death of the Son of God, for he may very well have died for you, but notwithstanding his death for you, that death may not avail to save you. And notwithstanding his death for you, you may one day end up in hell. That's a denial. That's a blasphemous denial of the truth of the text that Jesus is the good shepherd. giving his life for the sheep. Jesus' death is a benefit to the sheep. Blessed, saving, everlasting benefit. The benefit is first of all our deliverance from death. That's what we deserve, every one of us. We deserve death under the wrath of God. We are, every one of us, guilty, damn worthy sinners. The benefit of the death of the Good Shepherd is that we, you and I, we and our children and our grandchildren in the line of our generations are saved from death. That's what would surely happen to us apart from Jesus' death for us. That's what we deserve. That's what we have been delivered from by the death of the Good Shepherd. Delivering us from death. The benefit of the death of the Good Shepherd is that we have life. Life. The abundant life. Everlasting life. Life with God and with Christ, our Good Shepherd. Life under His favor. Life in His fellowship. The guilt of our sins having been paid for. That life is nourished under the preaching and teaching of the gospel. In the preaching of Jesus Christ, the great good shepherd, he feeds his sheep as he is doing tonight. In the preaching of his word, he protects the sheep. Defends them against their enemies, enriches the life for which he laid down his own life unto death. In the preaching of the gospel, he reminds us, week after week, reassuring us, confirming us in his love for us as the great good shepherd. The same love that moved him to lay down his life for a sinner like you and a sinner like me. Through the preaching of the gospel, we who are his sheep hear his voice, not merely the voice of a man, not even the voice of an under shepherd, of the good shepherd, but the voice of the good shepherd himself. That's what he says in verse 27, my sheep, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Hearing his voice, we obey his word. Hearing his voice, we follow after him as his faithful disciples. Only his voice, no other voice, because his voice is the voice of the good shepherd. Because only the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the life in thy favor and under thy blessing that now we who are thy sheep enjoy. We look forward to the day when that life will become eternal life, life in perfection with thee forevermore, life that can never be touched by the power of death. Give us that peace and that blessed assurance. In Jesus' name, amen.